Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready, we'll continue our verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. I simply entitled this, As to This Salvation. Here is the second half and conclusion of this two-part study.
Is Jesus Christ is returning, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. That is the church's responsibility, but I ask you, do you carefully search out the scriptures? Are you searching? Are you wringing out the scriptures the way that Daniel was? Daniel was pleading the Lord, seeking Him through prayer, fasting, in sackcloth and ashes, to the point Gabriel shows up, an angel. Like, we heard you. God heard you. He sent me to you. Can you imagine that? See, we in our heads, we can't imagine that. That's the problem. That's the problem with Christians. When I look at this, and I remember praying that for the church. I'm like, Lord, I know that if it happened for Daniel, it can happen for us. That's why I always pray. And I remember Ryan Reese doing this. And he would always say, man, even if you don't accept God right now, I'm going to pray that the Lord shows up in a way that's so real in your life, you're going to have to make a decision. Through some circumstance, through somebody coming and talking to you, through prayer, through a dream, whatever it is, it's going to be so real that you're going to go, I need Jesus. But see, that's how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be searching carefully the scriptures daily. Daily. You know, last week I had somebody come up to me and they brought their Bible to me. And they had a question about Revelation. And it's one of those questions that's the joy of the Bible. There are some things we won't know till we get to heaven, right? And when you go to commentaries, it's the hardest thing when you go to commentaries and one commentary says one thing and another commentary says another thing. And you're trying to figure out, okay, well, where do I stand in this? What am I getting as I'm searching and seeking and inquiring about the scripture? What do I believe? Right? But the beauty of that is when they handed me their Bible and I looked at their Bible, I saw the notes. And as I'm reading Daniel chapter 9 verse 3 as I'm preparing the study, I'm like, that person was ringing out and searching for answers. They were inquiring for answers, and that's how we should all be. And it just, as a pastor, it warmed my heart, and I pray that you would be doing the same thing. In Psalm 119 verse 2, it says, blessed are those who comply with His testimony and seek Him with all their heart. Not some of your heart, but all. In Romans chapter 8 verse 27, it says, and He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He searches the heart. Verse 11 says, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Again, that word seeking is it's for the believer to know at all costs. It actually is the heart of the believer wanting to know the answers. Like, what is it? Like, the prophets were looking and seeking and searching, and that should be us. What is this thing of salvation? Can you answer the question if somebody says, well, I heard there are other ways to heaven? No, as to this salvation, there's one. And can you explain that? As a believer, you need to be able to do that. You need to be able to do that. Do you realize you have people lined up for hours trying to get Ash Wednesday and all these other things that and fasting for how many days? And I'm going to give up this for Lent. A lot of them give up alcohol, and then Easter, they're toasted. You're not giving up anything. They need salvation. And it's in Jesus Christ, but this is what happens when men, servants of Saul, twist the scriptures. It's important for us to understand it, that God sent his son, that he suffered a great deal of pain and suffering, and that he bore the cross, the wrath of the cross. And it was in the prophets had spoke about it. In Isaiah 53 verse 5, it says, "But he was pierced for our offenses, he was crushed for our wrongdoings, the punishment for our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." It's a very important piece of scripture for us to remember that the Lord suffered on this earth and now has glory in heaven. And that should help us persevere through any trial that we're going, because he's asking you to be Christ-like. And so he's asking you to be Christ-like in the trial of your marriage, or in the trial of your family, or in the trial of your health, the trial of your finances. Like, are you going to be Christ-like? See, that's what the prophets were doing. They were seeking and searching for this person, the time of the Spirit of the Christ. And within them, they were indicating, as he predicted, the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. And Peter's reminding them that it was the prophets that predicted that Jesus would come. It's the prophets. It's the prediction that was always there. It was there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "And I will make enemies of you and the woman, and of your offspring and her descendants. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." So you have the prediction of sufferings of the Messiah from the very beginning. We have to remember, where there is no crown, there is no crown before the cross, and no resurrection before the crucifixion, and there is no glory before the shame. That's why he says in Psalm 22 verse 1, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my help are the words of my groaning." Sounds very familiar, right? To the very words. That's why Jesus quotes Old Testament scripture so much. It's like, hey, that thing right there, that was about this. Pay attention. Like, you're getting to see what the prophets and the kings wanted to see. And when you get to heaven, there are going to be people from the Old Testament that want to talk to you and go, "You had the whole book, and you had the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, the resurrecting power inside of you. What did you do with it?" What do you do with it? It's understanding that we should be seeking and searching and understanding, like, we should want to know more about his second coming. For us. The signs and the warnings are there. The church needs to wake up. The time is coming to an end. You need to think about this. Your children and their children may be raptured. There may not be another generation after that. You may get to be grandparents, and then generation, boom, boom, and then rapture. The way things are going now, your kids need a foundation of Christ. They don't need a foundation of this world, because it'll lead them straight to hell. And if you don't think there are signs and wonders of things that are coming, man, when you go to San Antonio schools and they have 2030 project of the UN on the walls of the schools, why in the world is the United Nations have stuff on the walls in the San Antonio school district? And the 2030 project has to do with a one world religion and a one world order and a one world banking system that is from the WEF and Klaus Schwab. Nobody's paying attention to this stuff, but it's in the signs and the wonder. If you start looking at the scriptures and studying them and seeking, and you see the signs and the wonders, it's all there. But you're not getting it because you're too focused on the world. Like, when's Yellowstone coming back? That's where your head is. Oh, the new Reacher season 2 is available. That's where your head, that's where Christians are at right now. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 2 through 4 says, "Looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. We look at our last point as we look at them sent from heaven. And I love this. And it says in verse 12, and yet he revealed to them that they were not serving themselves. Now, it was revealed to them, the cover was removed. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 19, it says, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision that Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And then in Daniel chapter 2, verses 22, it says that Daniel gives God the credit. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells within him. So Daniel receives it, and who does he give credit to? God. He doesn't take credit for himself. When he's in front of Nebuchadnezzar, does he take credit for himself? No. It's God that revealed the dream. Does Joseph do that? No. It's God. But see, servants of Saul love taking credit. They serve themselves. Are we serving ourselves in church? We want to be seen. We want a title. Are we serving ourselves? Because these prophets were not serving themselves. God gets the credit for everything we do. Don't become a servant of Saul. It was revealed to them by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed it to them. And you know what the craziest part about this is? It wasn't revealed in their lifetime. It's been revealed to you. You have such a gift that's been given to you. It was revealed to you. They longed to know what this was. What is this salvation? What is this grace? Who is this Messiah? And you know who it is. And you know that he's coming back. And you know that he's going to judge. What are you doing with it? You know the Lamb of God, and you know the line of Judah. You know how the story is going to end. It's not going to be pretty. How many Muslims will be marched into hell? How many Mormons will be marched into hell? How many Jehovah Witnesses will be marched into hell because they believed a false Jesus? Oh, he's the brother of Lucifer. What? Where do you get that from? Oh, if you choose to follow God in the Mormon faith, you become a god and you get your own planet. What? That sounds like something from the Marvel comic books, right? It's fantasies. No, you're fine. You're fine. That's a good word to use. It's all fallacy and fantasy. That's what it is. We have to be careful what we follow, right? We believe in Jesus Christ as to this salvation. And we don't serve ourselves. We serve humbly. And that's used there when he talks about serving. It actually means setting the table. So the prophets were setting the table. They were waiters. That's what you're doing. You're waiters of the servants. You're servants of God. You're waiters. Serving up the gospel. Guess what? Some people don't like the meal. But you served them. It is what it is, right? But you served them. And that's important for us to remember. Christ will return, and he will judge this world. And he is going to destroy evil. And there is hope in this gospel. And we need to preach that. That they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And so the Holy Spirit had given them the empowerment to prophesy the God's plan of salvation. But I think the thing that we need to catch as we end up here is the things into which angels long to look. See, the Holy Spirit empowered them at Pentecost, right? Before they go out to Pentecost, before Peter preaches, they receive the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and as far as the remotest parts of the earth. It's the Holy Spirit that allows Peter to speak at Pentecost. It's the Holy Spirit that brings up all that Old Testament knowledge that he had, and he was able to preach during Pentecost. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. But do you understand the angels long to look at this? It's like that word, they long to look, means to stoop down, stretched with their necks, trying to figure out, why are you at church this week? Why are you following a God that you have not seen? A God that you now love and trust. They're trying to understand that because they are separate created beings by God. They're made for worship. They're made for worship. Now, nobody goes to heaven and becomes an angel. Just FYI, okay? I won't get into that. You're not going to turn into a little precious moments thing. You're not, that's not, that doesn't happen. Oh, they're an angel looking down upon me. They are not looking down upon you. They are worshiping Jesus. They ain't not focused on anything happening in this world, okay? It's that simple. Can you imagine Lazarus? Lazarus is like, hey, and then they're like, okay, we're going to raise you from the dead. Like, why? It's important for us to understand these are the things that the angels long to look. The angels long to look to try to understand the salvation that God's bestowed on his church. They're trying to understand why you believe in God's grace and mercy and love. They're trying to understand why you forgive. They're observing you. They're longing to look to understand this. And yet, what are you doing with it? You have something that the prophets wanted to know about, to physically see, to understand, and yet you have it. And yet you don't open your Bible. You don't search. You don't seek. You're okay with just getting it on Sunday. That's not the prophets of the Old Testament. It shouldn't be you. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, it says, to me, the very last of all the saints, the grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and enlightened all people as to what the plan of the mystery is which for the ages had been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the multifaceted wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. Like the wisdom of God and what's happening as we preach the gospel would be made known into heavenly places. That's why it tells us in the Bible, like they celebrate when someone comes to faith. It's celebrated in heaven. And so the simplest way to look at this passage in verses 10 through 12 is simply this. Our privileged place in the salvation plan was pursued and predicted in the past by prophets, proclaimed in the present by preachers, passionately peered at by the angels. Our privileged place in salvation, the salvation plan, was pursued and predicted in the past by prophets, proclaimed in the present by preachers, and passionately peered at by the angels. I love that. The author's unknown for that. So that's not Mike. That could come up with something that good. I'll be honest with you. That's an unknown author that put that out. And I love that. It really sums up verses 10 through 12 tremendously. So you have the gospel that's supposed to be preached to go out. And Peter's saying, hey, look, the prophets, they were seeking and searching and wanting to go out, and they preached about it. They went and talked about it and shared it. Think about Noah. Noah shared it. They had no problem telling people about Christ. The rapture, nothing needs to happen. It can happen at any time. And you need to wake up to that. So how many people are you going to leave back here? You're like, oh, I'm ready, rapture ready. Got my cape on, I'm ready to go. Right? I'm ready to do the thing. We're like, let's go. But how many people are you going to leave behind? That's something we need to think about. The gospel has to go out. And it gets on my nerves when people tell me, well, I'm just going to live it. You ain't living it. You're living a life of a hypocrite. That's why they're not coming to faith. You speak the gospel. You preach it. You live for God. You don't live for people. You live for God. When you live for God, that attracts people within itself. But don't become a servant of Saul. That's how they knew Goliath, and the enemy knew hey, they ain't following God no more. They're servants of Saul. Let's go down and let's take them out. That's why they marched their army right down. They're ready to go knock out Israel like that, because they were like, they're not even following God no more. They wanted a king. They had God and they wanted a man. We have Jesus and Muhammad wanted the Quran. We have Jesus and Joseph Smith goes, hey, we need to be Mormons. Let's add to the Bible. Their Bible's like this thick. They've added so much stuff in there. They're Jehovah Witnesses. Well, let's change this word and let's change that word. It's all false teachings. Because there's only one salvation, and it's Jesus Christ. As to this salvation, you have to know that as a believer. Jesus died for your sins. He was resurrected, defeated death, and sits at the right hand of God, interceding for his children. And the only way that you can be forgiven of your sins, because you're separated from a holy God, if not, is through his son, Jesus Christ. There's no other way. That is the salvation that we cling to. Now we get all giddy and happy. It's Easter. Let's invite people to church. You should be doing that all the time. All the time. All the time. What happens in a church should happen outside the walls of a church. What you're here to do now, this is a place it's a hospital for the sick. But it's also a place where I'm sending you out. I'm getting you better and sending you back out. You may have to heal here for a little bit. It's not me who's doing it. It's the Word of God that builds you back up and strengthens you so you can go back out again, to be sent out again. When somebody goes through illness or death, or they're in a season where their children are growing and they're in that season. I've got 5 kids. I know what that season is when you're just trying to get through the day. We're just there building you up, building you up, building you up. Because at some point, them kids ain't going to want nothing to do with you because they're teenagers. And I'm going to send you back out again. Or they get about 7 or 8 years old and they think they got it all figured out. But I'm going to send you back out again. It's like that's what the church is for. That's what the Word of God is for. But look, I can only do that with you once a week. Some of you twice a week. What are you doing the other times of the other days of the week? I want you to be like the prophets, like Daniel. Then you go, man, I can't be like Daniel. Like I tell people all the time, because they'll say, man, I'm more like Peter or I'm more like Paul. You know, some of y'all better not say I'm like Saul. Right? But the reality of it is like, I love Daniel because Daniel's whole life, he was faithful. You don't see one moment where Daniel, man, when they're partying, like the party's happening and all the sexual morality's happening and they go get the utensils that were in the holy temple and then the handwriting's on the wall. Is Daniel at the party? No. Hey, didn't we have this dude named Daniel that used to pray all the time and God would speak to him? He wasn't there. He was faithful. He was a man of prayer. He was a man who was always seeking and spending time with God. And a man who was always available, ready to serve his God. Not the King Nebuchadnezzar, his God. And that should be us. Stop looking for a savior in D.C. There ain't one. You can pray that we get somebody who does biblical thinking, right? And even then, they still make mistakes. But you need to pray that for the Congress and the Senate. You need to pray that for the state of Texas and for this area, for the city council. Because I can tell you, Lytle and Natalia and Divine need biblical, solid Christians on the school boards and on the city councils and on the Chamber of Commerce. And we have a lot of great people, but we need that. So one day you may be sent out. You don't. You never know what God's going to do and use you in this world. I have a very limited audience. I have y'all. But y'all see more people than I ever see in a week. Because most of the people I'm interacting with, unfortunately, are believers. Most of the people that you work with and that you interact with are unbelievers. So you should be sharing the gospel and preaching the gospel and Hey, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, because my Jesus is returning. And my Jesus, who was the Lamb, who was gentle and loving and showing grace and mercy, the Lion of Judah, is going to be tatted up and with a sword, ready to bring judgment. And I don't want you to go to hell. You're either lost or you're found, is what Pastor John Randall said. Which one are you?
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.